Welcome to Sunset Conversations, a BullfrogEntertainment.com production. I am your host, Papa Mark Lichterman, along with my partner, production coordinator, Mark Florkowski. On the 15th and 30th of each month, we will present you with an interesting and entertaining topic. One exception, that pesky February will be the 28th. Our podcast is a mixed bag of our daily life experiences as they relate to us and all of you. We look at personal observations. These may include such topics as fruits, coffee, teenage relationships with grandparents, traffic, vacations, daily frustrations, and joys. Our goal is to show the audience how ridiculous, silly, and of course joyful our lives can be. Each episode will end with a big smile, like when eating ice cream. Please enjoy our Sunset Conversations as we take you through the journey of life. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to info@bullfrogentertainment.com. Hey, Mark, before we start this episode, I do believe this is our fifth episode.
Yay!
Hey, how about it, huh? And I think we should thank all of our listeners that have stuck with us through the first four.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they've seen some improvement in our abilities and have enjoyed listening.
I really appreciate their love.
And absolutely. And we want to welcome any new listeners to, again, this being our fifth episode of Sunset Conversations.
Welcome, welcome.
And let's get started.
Yes, let's.
Mustard? Really? Mustard? I ordered pancakes, and you bring me mustard? 20-plus days in the hospital, and the only meal I ate from the hospital kitchen was breakfast. And yes, I did get packs of mustard as opposed to pancake syrup.
I believe that.
With my pancakes.
I believe it. And if it was the clear pack, it probably looked brown, like maple syrup.
It was hard to believe, but it was just a culmination of the 22 days of breakfast. Guess what? I don't think I got more than, I don't know, a few orders even correct. And it was simple breakfast. For example, I had to reduce it down. Every day I had a hard-boiled egg.
Mm-hmm.
Those were safe.
Yep.
Scrambled egg? No way. It was impossible. Absolutely impossible to eat.
So scrambled eggs lived up to their name.
So they were fried egg. Not even close to edible. Toast sometimes was never toasted. Cereal that I ordered was not even the same cereal. Fruit was crunchy.
Crunchy fruit.
I mean, it's just watermelon that looked like it had been sitting out from the day before. Bananas that even the nurses said, I wouldn't eat that. You should return that and get another one.
Is
I go, what
like
am I going to get?
Medical advice, right?
That was medical advice. Coffee that, and I can drink some pretty bad coffee. This was some pretty bad coffee. To top it off, I would order turkey sausage. Sometimes with my hard-boiled egg, which, again, I quit doing that because the turkey sausage was exactly like an air hockey disc.
Why can't I imagine that? I got a picture in my mind's eye.
I mean,
a hard turkey sausage disc.
It was very unbelievable, yet expected because hospital food is stereotypically and in some truths not very good. The bright side, which I always got to look at the bright side at everything, is I became a door dasher for lunches and dinners. A door dasher for the first time ever. And it was in a really nice neighborhood with this hospital. And so I had some phenomenal food. And my wife would go down every day at the entrance of the hospital and meet the door dasher and bring up food that the nurses were always, what'd you get today? Oh my gosh, look at this. I can't believe you're eating this. Can't believe you're eating that. So that was the bonus part. And yet, interesting enough, the menu for the hospital showed a picture of a chef on the front of it and promoted the food as something being like special, like even gourmet. And I would joke and go, who is this chef? Has he eaten any of the things that are in this menu? Because this is nowhere near gourmet. So anyhow, welcome again to this latest episode of Sunset Conversations.
This should be a very lively conversation because everyone should have an opinion on this topic.
Absolutely. I mean, stereotypes are, again, there's truths to them, but we'll get into it. So, for example, all hospital food is inedible. We learned it isn't. thank goodness it isn't. You guys got to find the right hospital. All Southerners are rednecks, and is only known for Southern hospitality. Again, stereotypical. Jewish people never eat pork. Interesting. Pig roasts have been a huge thing in my family.
Sure have.
And so I wonder about that one as well. For example, New Yorkers are all rude. Not really. They actually do love to help the tourists that are in the city. Can you meet a rude New Yorker? Yeah, you can meet a rude anybody, no matter where you're at.
Well, I agree with your observation that they do love tourists.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's
because that's their biggest economic benefit there. I mean, they all love entertaining us.
They absolutely do. I mean, here's a good one. Asian Americans are all naturally, that's the big word, naturally smart. Well, come on. Those who are high performers and put in the time and the effort that's required,
yes.
can be high performers. So these are just a few of the stereotypes that many believe to be absolutely true. And there, I believe, lies the problem. What are your beliefs, I wonder, to our listeners? Are you true believers that stereotypes are 100% true? Or are you able to believe that stereotypes have truth to them, but it is not the sole and only fact of groups of people or actions or any of this? Are they based on truths? Are they based on stereotypes? Today, Mark and I will explore some of these and other stereotypes and truths. And by the way, no, Alaska is not only a wintry wilderness.
Wow. Do you want to define winter in the Caribbean?
Yes. I'll take that Caribbean winter over Chicago's anytime.
Ring the bell. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. All right. Let's see what we can do here. All right. So as we mentioned in the introduction, hospital food is one of the stereotypes. And let's take a look at some of the things that it's known for. Not the good things, then I will, of course, bring up some of the actually pretty good things about some hospital food.
Well, for some of our people who might not believe what a stereotype is, why don't we give them our definition of stereotype?
I don't have one.
No, it's almost like a myth.
Well, I
you know, people believe guess, it, but it's not really a fact or a truth. That's why we're comparing stereotypes to truths.
Right, but stereotypes have truths in them.
Of course.
And so we're pulling the truths and we're separating the truths and the stereotypes. Some of the truths which, again, make the stereotype. So, for example, hospital food has a blandness to it, which is very true in hospitals.
So I've heard.
And so it's sometimes as exciting as, you might say, strained peas, which I've had, like, strained peas, and they're definitely not exciting.
You're really making me feel good that somehow I've had a blessed life here. I haven't had strained peas yet.
Let me tell you, and, you know, sometimes it's mystery food. You don't even know what it is.
Now you have my attention, and because I've heard of mystery food.
You know, I kind of look at it. You know, I grew up with TV dinners, which definitely is not a gourmet food, but it was pretty tasty growing up with TV dinners.
Lots of salt, lots of MSG.
I see hospital food also as being really bad TV dinners.
Okay, now I am very interested in the context of bad TV dinners.
That takes us to the lowest of levels.
We don't want to go lower than that, please.
And part of the reasoning behind some of this in the initial stages of hospital food is because you have clientele that might not be able to eat lots of salts or different seasonings, and so the blandness and that they're looking at as a
health issue. It's so funny you're referring to patients as clientele.
So they also, though, ironically give you unhealthy options.
That's exactly what I want to hear us talk about.
Sugary snacks.
How a hospital could be, in the business of trying to heal people, but they're feeding them shitty food.
Very unhealthy type foods. They have ice creams, the ones in a little paper cardboard cup.
Right.
So they don't even give you good ice cream, fried items, sugary snacks. You can always get Jell-O.
Have you ever seen fried chicken on the menu?
Fried chicken.
At a hospital?
Yeah, I think I did see fried chicken.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I think I have had some form of a fried chicken. Oh, they do have the baked chicken, but again, it's not cooked properly. It's like cardboard. They have a very cardboard type attitude.
Aren't they just trying to get you out of the hospital?
Maybe, yeah.
Which really seems, weird to me because they get paid more money if they keep you in the hospital.
Yeah, today it's three and out usually.
Okay.
There's an interesting thing, and I don't know if it's still totally true everywhere, but contrary to probably a lot of popular beliefs, hospitals are not required to meet the national nutritional standards for inpatient meals.
I didn't know that.
And so there, right there is a way of making it very easy to make a very non-nutritional meal for the patients.
They're in the business of healing, not feeding.
And again, they have the ice cream in a cardboard cup. They're not going to give you fine, ice cream necessarily. But there's also today a culinary revolution occurring in hospitals.
But if I could just for a moment throw in a plug for a Disneyland-like hospital scenario where they just try to make everything delightful on your way to recovery.
Yeah, that would be
the Disney Magic Hospital.
Well, there are several hospitals in the United States. This one is rather hard to pronounce, but I'll bring it up.
Give it a shot, Mark.
It's Fauquier Hospital.
Fauquier, huh?
Just remember, it's in Warrenton, Virginia.
Okay.
And they have a what's called the Bistro on the Hill. And it's pretty interesting. They have fresh organic ingredients, many of which they grow right on site. Their meals are made to order, emphasizing patients-centered care and healthier eating choices. So,
they sound like they're trying to cover all the bases for people who have a dislike for traditional hospital food.
Well, again, you're sick. You should eat, right? You should eat healthier food in your mind. At least you believe that. There's a New York Presbyterian Hospital.
It's New York.
They have known for what they call the amenities unit. So here you get gourmet meals, you get mushroom risotto, and patients, this is pretty crazy, can upgrade to penthouse suites with butler service while in that hospital.
Sounds like what I would imagine and a stereotype for New York would be.
That's like just, what an enhancing opportunity for hospital food.
Right. I want to get sick and go to New York right now.
They have, there's another Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York City again. In this place, patients can request special dishes like Colorado rack of lamb.
Wow.
Lobster. Although lobster tail I did have when our first son was born. They're not going to offer that any longer at a hospital, but I did get the opportunity to have that. And they emphasize at this hospital the true dining experience. So, initially it sounds like if you're going to get sick and want to go, you have to go to a hospital, New York is the place you want to be. You know, like New York, for example. Now we know they have some phenomenal hospitals with food, or phenomenal food in some hospitals, I should say. Stereotype, they're all fast-talking people.
Aggressive.
They're always on a hurry. They're always, yes, aggressive. In truth, yeah, they are faster than country folk. I mean, it's a different environment.
It's a 24-hour city.
Not everything's 20 minutes away. True. You know? Yes, it's a vibrant city.
A lot of competition. You know, I mean, how many sports teams do they have in that little island?
That's exactly. And yet, I've been to New York. The people are incredibly friendly.
Yes.
They're not rustling, hustling past you, being rude to tourists. No, they love tourists. They love to help you out. They're rich with diversity again. And, you know, they're beautiful, warm neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to bakeries that are family-owned that are just awesome. And I don't look at it and go, wow, these are roughneck New Yorkers. It was a great time there. So, again, stereotype that doesn't necessarily hold true, you know, as a truth only.
I wonder if it's just human nature to feel more entertained believing in the stereotype.
That's probably easier, huh? Some people take the easy way and go, yeah, that's how they all are.
Right.
Rather than doing the research or visiting or something like that.
When the reality is they're really just nice human beings.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes the stereotype gets in the way of us giving them a chance.
Yeah, that's 100% true. California, for example, you know, a lot of people believe they're all health obsessed and, you know, yoga practicing
Well, I thought they all surfed.
Eating toast, avocado toast only.
That's not true.
And in reality, let's get to the truth. There's a strong wellness culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have, you know, awesome weather in a lot of the state. They're outdoor people, you know. So, yes, wellness makes sense. You know, here we can't ride a bike in the winter so easily.
No.
We can, but not like in parts of California. You know, and they're, you know, there's tech innovations there. They have huge technology centers. Their culture is really substantial. They have influences that track throughout the country because they're so large with so many people. So if something's in California, it tends to cross country.
Right. Yeah, it'll get started there and then migrate its way east.
Yes. You know, it might be adjusted, of course, because people are different. And, you know, not everyone in California are surfing and doing yoga and going to the beach every day.
Oh, yeah, but that's because they're playing golf, pickleball, and going hiking.
Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff to do. Yeah, wonderful state of Florida. Stereotype that, you know.
Old people?
Old people only, and there's always the man. The Florida man did this, or the Florida man did that. Which is kind of a weird thing.
I know that guy. You know. He's like on every other episode of
what is it?
I know
the show, the reality TV show. Right. There's so many of them, who can remember anymore? You know, but the truth is,
Dateline.
Hey, Dateline or there that, you go. Yes.
Yeah, 48 hours. It's always the Florida guy.
Yeah, the Florida guy. You know, yeah. And we get to have beautiful beaches, you know, vibrant cities again. Cultural history that's throughout the state. It's, you know, it's not quite what you would stereotype. It's not just, you know, oranges and
Everglades and Disney World and,
you know, and ironically cowboys started in Florida,
right?
And the
and
Indian
ironically
nation,
they weren't from Texas.
No, they weren't.
Or know. Montana or Wyoming.
And the Indian nation of Florida,
right,
is the only, if I get this right, and audience can correct me, but I believe it's correct, are the only Indian nation that never surrendered. And that's because they lived in the swamps of Florida, and I'm sure they were razzed, but they never surrendered.
I believe.
Which is awesome.
I believe a lot of stories about the Indians and their culture and their heritage and their history are not given enough time to deserve the respect that they do deserve.
100%. 100%. Hey, here we go. Midwesterners. Well, now that That puts us right into the bucket, doesn't it?
Okay. Dark, you know? dark winters.
Yeah. The stereotype, Midwesterners are polite. Well, thank you very much. But dull. Dull. Oh, well, I can be dull at times, but I don't know if that's because I'm a Midwesterner. We're obsessed with cornfields and town life. Town life.
Sounds like somebody from Iowa.
You know, yeah. Is the Midwesterners only like country folk only? Well, I don't think so. You know, we're actually very friendly. We live in urban areas like Chicago. Okay, there's no cornfields anymore in Chicago. Minneapolis, ain't no cornfields in Minneapolis anymore. And again, we have diverse scenes to go to. We have great culinary restaurants. Chicago's like
absolutely
right up on par with New York or anywhere mm-hmm. else in the country or world for that matter. And it's, you know, vibrant nightlife, very un-Midwestern stereotypical if you want to, you know, take a close look at it. Texas, for one more of these. Oh, Texas, they're all gun-toting cowboys in Texas.
They sure are.
You know, they all live on ranches.
They do.
Do some? They do. They got a lot of land in Texas. There's a lot of ranch land still, of course. But I've been to Texas as well, and they're not all cowboys there. There is a strong cowboy culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because there's many years of cowboys that were throughout the state of Texas. But go to Houston, go to Austin, mm-hmm. the music capital, and you'll see a whole different world. I had a couple of more states, and then we'll move on to the next stereotypical type things.
Bring it on.
We next. Might have to talk about.
What's our next state?
Oregon, the Oregonians.
Oh.
I mean, I've been to Oregon, too. And no, they're not, you know, as the stereotype says, all tree-hugging hipsters who drink craft beer and wear flannel shirts.
Live in tents.
You know, live in tents. Tree huggers and all that, no. Portland, yeah, you know, there's quirky vibes, of course. And there's food trucks. They're mm-hmm. awesome. And there's a coffee. Can't say the word for some reason. I need coffee. Coffee culture, yes. Starbuckers, I guess you all know about the coffee culture of Oregon. There's, you know, natural landscapes. There's urban scenes. There's beaches, there's mountains, of course, and there's actually high desert, which is really pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I see nothing wrong with the state of Oregon or the Oregonians.
I think Oregon's pretty cool because it's hometown of, home state, pardon me, Nike.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's, yeah. So, again, visit Oregon and learn about the Oregonians and the state of Oregon if you think the stereotypes are all only true.
To me, it's like California, only better.
Yeah. You know, and finally, as mentioned in my intro, the stereotype for Alaska is it's all wilderness, and everyone lives in igloos. With global warming coming about, there won't be no more igloos, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be.
There's a truth.
Kind of sad.
And yet, the truth about Alaska, and there's one place I have not been yet, but it's got really diverse climates.
I'm glad you mentioned
it's warmer
that.
There than Chicago in the winter.
Yeah.
Okay, in Anchorage.
But Alaska should be on everybody's bucket list.
It's got temperate rainforests.
Mm-hmm.
It has, and again, outdoor stuff. Well, of course, it's not like, you know, not like going to Chicago necessarily. You know, it's got tundra. It's got all types of modern homes, though. You know,
true.
Not only igloos and all kinds of activities that are year-round, even though people think it's always winter in Alaska and always filled with mosquitoes. Yes, you can find winter.
Okay.
And yes, you can find mosquitoes.
You are absolutely helping me to have a clear idea of what a stereotype is by using Alaska.
Thank you very much.
Let me see here as I prepare us for the next segment. For not the faint of heart,
no.
All right? But for the rest of us, we're going to continue. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, you know, so we've looked at some of the states, and the stereotypes and the truths about them, and you know, just American culture, you know.
Well, it felt good, you know, kind of like beating our chest about, you know, how great America is, you know, the United States.
Yes, you know, 100%. You know, we're sometimes looked at as, you know, being informal in many ways.
I like that about ourselves. I don't think that's a stereotype. I think it's our reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, like, again, for businesses, and you would know maybe more, that I've been retired a long time, you're still out there pounding the bricks. You know, Americans, when we talk about the informality in many countries, I guess people call their bosses by their last name. And here in America, we don't. We call our bosses by their first names.
And right.
That is perceived as an informalness that...
I think that that's very true, but, you know how would I really know? But I'm sure in cultures, Asian cultures and Latin America...
Well, there's a difference.
Europeans, there's a lot of different heritage that comes in, gets involved in.
Totally, totally.
I've been told I'm really an American, and...
You know, before I went to Italy, I looked and did some research and found that they forewarn you as an American that the tone of an Italian's voice,
mm-hmm.
potentially, I guess whether it's spoken in Italian or they're trying to speak English... our American ear can pick that up as being rude.
True.
And in reality, they're absolutely 110% not rude.
They're passionate. They're expressing themselves.
Yes. And that's, you know, again, we the don't understanding get it. Of I could come back and have it become a stereotype and say, oh, all those Italians are pretty rude.
Yeah, they're hotheads.
You know, they're hotheaded people. Yeah.
I've heard it.
In reality, no. Mm-hmm. That would be so... stereotypical and untrue,
mm-hmm.
You know, because again, stereotypes can sometimes hold, you know, some kernels of truth. They often they overlook the rich diversity, the complexity of American culture, European cultures, all different types of cultures. There's, you know, some truths about American society and its various cultured landscape. And there's a lot of untruths about it, you know, as well. You know, Americans are actually very generous. Americans are very optimistic in reality.
Boy, aren't we ever.
And we're very creative.
Look at how many Cubs fans there are.
That's right. You know, I got every 100 years plus. I mean, you know, and we're certainly, you know, creative and innovative in what we do. We're not... Again, stereotypically, are there some, of course, materialistic? We're not culturally ignorant. We're not arrogant having a feeling of entitlement, which, again, is
oh, those people are just jealous of us, Mark.
And again, we're not, I don't know that anymore, you know, I'm not going to get into that at this, because, again, we're on the lighter side of things.
Right.
You know.
But these are important points to make up because, you know, as I'm learning about our talk about stereotypes and truths, stereotypes have some good points to them, and it also has a bad side to them.
It's terrible. You know, again, there's things that we've done, that are beginning to change, and some people have difficulty with this. Stereotypes that we've had, like in the film industry, where, you know, Asians all played a
really?
Certain type of character.
Yeah.
People that are African-American would play a certain type of mm-hmm. character. Spanish would play a certain type of character.
Right. And, you know, it's really amazing, since we're talking about this, Mark, just think about this for a moment. When we go back to when we were kids in the 70s,
yeah.
If we watch some of those movies again today, how about Saturday Night Fever?
Right.
Some of the things that are done there would not be found acceptable today.
No.
Because of the stereotypes.
Right.
How about Blazing Saddles? Oh. Some of the gags that were done in that movie would be totally frowned upon today.
Yeah, 100%.
Even watching 100%. Some of the Saturday Night Live 50-year anniversary, mm-hmm. some of those were a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they were from 50 years ago.
50 years ago, yes. You know, and again, those things... developed. We thought they were stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Or we thought they were truths, I should say. They were really all stereotypes. Today we're breaking those.
Right.
And people that have trouble with the truth, let's say, have trouble seeing that sometimes and figuring out or understanding why, you know, we're doing that. Why, you know, why there are individual differences that actually, you know, enrich us rather than alienate us. So there's an American stereotypes that are both positive and negative, and today need to be looked at in a different light in order so we might advance.
True.
Well, so once again, we come to the part of our podcast, which is the conclusion, this time being the conclusion of truths and stereotypes, at least for this evening.
And, you know, Mark, I want to tell you that I really learned a lot. You know, we started with, I don't know what a stereotype is, and as we marched through the last 25 minutes, I've learned a lot about what are stereotypes, what are good about stereotypes, and there's some things that aren't so good about stereotypes.
That's so true.
I'm looking forward to how you wrap it up.
You know, and before I get into the final conclusion, I want to again invite our listeners, any stereotypes that you've lived through, experienced, if you want to share them with us, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Please share those with us.
Some of them on the air at some point as we move along here. And, you know, thank you again for sticking with us. So, you know, will I one day, as I started in my introduction, will I one day be given mustard for my pancakes?
I hope so.
Yes, even in a rhetorical sense. There's a big word.
Oh, I really want to see you get more mustard on your pancakes. Because you're my friend. I got to see it.
This is the type of stuff that produces stereotypes of places, cultures, foods, demographics, or anything else as we journey through our life experiences. Can you allow yourselves to see some experiences as exceptions and not the rule or truths? If we ask or do a little research, we can expand our understanding of mustard pancake syrup. Prior to visiting Italy, as I mentioned earlier, I did learn that the rough and gruff tone of Italians can be perceived as rough and tough to Americans. And as I mentioned, no, they are not. They are wonderful people. Should I have not gone to Italy because I would be worried about the attitude of Italians, I would have been eliminating a potential opportunity to see the truth and believing in the stereotype. Stereotypes are oversimplified, generalized beliefs. They can be both positive and negative. They often serve to categorize individuals based on perceived traits, you might say. It's brought me great joys inviting doctors, lawyers, accountants, Jews, Muslims, and nationalities from around the world to enjoy pig roasts together. And hey, I do actually eat pig's tail if you want to get into stereotype of cultural weird foods.
I thought we were saying that for another episode. No, there's lots of material
totally
there.
Awesome. You know, and when we have our pig roast or have had our pig roast, all these groups of diverse people that could all be looked at stereotypically and go, oh my goodness, how could you get along? Doctors, lawyers, and how can you talk? And all accountants are boring.
Do they talk?
You know, it's, right? You know, we laugh about and learn about our differences and the stereotypes that surround us.
Constantly surrounding us.
Constantly. What a joy that we are not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark and I thank you for joining us. Now, pass me the maple syrup, please.
Hey, hold on. I'm not done with it, okay? And, you know, I think this is really great. And, you know, listeners, if you have comments about stereotypes, we want to hear them. Send them to us. We, you know, love getting the emails because we get more encouragement and material possibly. So thanks. This is our fifth episode. We're looking to an awesome sixth, and have a great day. Make it a great day.
Thank you. Pass the maple syrup.
All right.
Mark and I really appreciate and thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Sunset Conversations.
Yes, we do.
We hope you enjoyed this week's journey into another mixed bag topic. Until the next time, keep your curiosity alive and your heart and mind open. If you enjoyed today's show, why not share it with a friend who might appreciate our blend of diverse topics and curiosities?
And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to catch our next episode.
Please visit our homepage, bullfrogentertainment.com. There you will find our podcast notes and links. We look forward to your questions, suggestions, and comments. Send them to info@bullfrogentertainment.com.